Well, this should be interesting. One of the world's top infectious disease specialists, professor at Florida International University, Dr. Eileen Marty, is babysitting today. Dr. Marty, how's it going?
Well, I have a sick baby in my hand.
Oh, no.
Literally in my arms.
well, we'll try to keep it short. I want to know about this Paxlovid, and now Jill Biden is on it, as President Biden was a while back. When, if you have COVID, when do you take Paxlovid, and when do you just ride it out without any meds?
So I give Paxlovid to those patients who are at risk of having severe disease. And that risk is judged by underlying conditions and age, and vaccination state, right? And the exposure history. So based on, you know, if they likely encountered a high bolus of virus, have some underlying conditions or are of a certain age, I will put them on Paxlovid to avoid them having severe disease. And it works brilliantly. The viral loads drop. The people feel much better. They do get this horrible metallic taste in their mouth that they uniformly complain of, but they're, relative to the symptoms, they're quite happy.
And for others who have COVID and are either asymptomatic or have very mild symptoms, do you suggest taking anything?
So, of course, but just over-the-counter cold remedies are sufficient. And hydration is very important because when your body is fighting an infection, it uses an awful lot of water to make many of the products that kill off the viruses and bacteria. So for that reason, it's really important to stay hydrated, but always to make sure that you also get some electrolytes. So the old chicken soup, right,
mm-hmm.
that grandma used to make, mm-hmm. is actually a brilliant way of getting that fluids and electrolytes in a pleasant way. A nice, tea with honey can be a very pleasant way to hydrate and also do something soothing to the throat on the way down.
I thought tea and coffee really is not a good replacement for water. I mean, there's water in there, but it's not the same. But you're saying it's
so
good.
You're correct if you're talking about black tea. I was thinking more like chamomile, herbal teas, things of that nature.
Green tea?
Well, green tea does have some of the diuretics in it. So green tea is actually a very healthy thing to drink, but emphasize more the herbal tea.
Yeah.
Like rubies.
Yeah, I've heard if you talk to especially holistic folks, they're down on black tea. They don't like, they say, no, don't drink black tea.
Well, you know, everything is dose-related, right, Bob? So if somebody really loves a cup of black tea and they have one cup in the morning, that's like having a cup of coffee.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, you know.
All right, I'm going to let you. I'll let you get back to babysitting, but just one more thing, and it was an interesting question. One of our listeners emailed us: Is the vaccine for monkeypox the same as that for smallpox? And does Dr. Marty feel that at some point vaccines for diseases that were thought to be eliminated will have to be given again? Smallpox, polio, etc.
Wow, I wish I had an hour to answer that question, because this is actually one of my favorite topics, is the origin of the vaccine that we used for smallpox, which is actually a separate wild virus. We started out with a wild virus that caused a different disease in horses and cows, and that essentially became vaccinia, which was the vaccine that we used to eradicate smallpox. So we literally used a completely different species of the same genus virus to eliminate smallpox. That is, since that virus, vaccinia, is related to orthopox variola, which is the virus of smallpox, and it's related to orthopox monkeypox, the virus of monkeypox. It works well for all of them, right? So it does work. Now, what we're using right now for monkeypox is that original wild virus passaged 570 times through chick fibroblasts, once through rabbit testicles and once through chick, 570 times through chick fibroblasts. And in that process, it lost the genes that it needed to be able to replicate, to reproduce in our cells. It can now only reproduce in chicken cells, right? Chicken fibroblasts. And so because of that, it's far less risky than the version of vaccinia that you and I may have gotten as children. The Dryvax is what they gave us, right? Which is essentially that what virus that we got from nature, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's part of an answer to your question. The other part is, are we going to have to need, you know, vaccines that we used in the past? I think actually what we need to do, Bob, is create better versions, because this so-called Jynneos vaccine, the third-generation vaccine, which I just described to you how it's made, was actually first produced in the late 1960s, early 70s, and is not very modern and does not use the modern technology that we could use to make even better vaccines. So if new, if there is reemergence of old pathogens, the best thing to do is to produce good, safer than what we have now, and more effective vaccines, which we can do. And in fact, the Soviet Union developed a vaccine, and the Russians have a vaccine for smallpox that is a fourth-generation vaccine that uses modern technology and is even safer than our Jynneos and easier to make, easier to manufacture.
Mm. All right. Well, to be continued on that, I got to get to the news next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom at 8. And Dr. Marty, I know you want to read your grandchild a story about the origin of vaccines now. So we'll talk next week. Good luck.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.